What we're going to talk about today is how the 39 books of the Old Testament fit together and Israeli history. This is one of those synthesis days. If you've never heard this before, you're fixing to be wild. I'm about to put the Old Testament together for you. So you got that handout. Right in the middle of the handout, there's a line that looks kind of like a pitchfork. You see that one? That's where we're going to start. So pretend this board up here is your handout. Now, what's over here not on the board is going to be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books. That's just kind of the formation of Israel. If you've got your Bible and you think about your table of contents, you can open it up if you want to. What books are after what Moses wrote? What's the next couple of books after Moses wrote his stuff? Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Joshua is them conquering the land. Judges, they're in the land, and it's a bunch of cycles based on the law. When they're obedient, they prosper. When they're disobedient, God brings in an oppressor, and then he has to raise up a judge to deliver them. So you've got about seven cycles of the same thing over and over and over, all based on how well they were obeying or disobeying the law. Ruth is a love story set right in that same time frame. Now, that's all right here. So here we got the stuff Moses wrote, the Pentateuch, and then we got Joshua and Judges. Now, who was the last judge to rule Israel before they had the first king? Samuel. Yeah, we'll take that. Now, this is where our thing's going to start. I don't know what yours looked like, but right here, the very first person writes Samuel and draw a little line like this. The line's probably already there. Because the last judge in the book of Judges crowned the first king. Who's the first king? Saul. So he goes right there. Now, if you stop the average guy on the street and say, quick, name for me three of the kings of Israel. If he can do it, the only three he's going to come up with are who? Saul, David, and Solomon. Why is it those three are so famous that nobody's ever heard of the rest of them, Alex?
Is that before this, like, a split happened?
That's right. These are the only three kings who ruled over all 12 tribes. We got a line here. We got Saul, we got David, we got Solomon. And what happened after Solomon died to the kingdom? They split up. Now, we in America had a civil war, and the South tried to secede from the North. Well, they came close to a war. They didn't have it. But unlike our situation, the North seceded from the South, and they succeeded in seceding. All right? So that's where this line comes in. You know what? The secession was over. Same thing, the American Revolution was over. And for that matter, really the Civil War. Taxes. Taxes. Too high. The secession starts sounding pretty good again. Isn't it? Now, at the bottom, below these three guys, you've got a line. And we're going to call this the United Kingdom. It's all 12 tribes are united. Now, after the division, we'll call that section underneath the pitchfork here. We're going to call this the divided kingdom. How many of y'all here didn't know that there were two separate sovereign Hebrew countries? Thank you. I appreciate that honesty. I want y'all, isn't that interesting? So they split, north and south. How many tribes went north and what was it called? 10 tribes went north. They called them the Yankee Kingdom. Now that's why.
Not really.
Its main word is Israel. And there were how many tribes again that went north? 10. And then the southern was called Judah. Obviously, there were two tribes there. Israel had an alias that often, this is called by the alias in the Hebrew scriptures. It was named after its largest tribe. What was that name? Ephraim. See, Judah was the largest tribe in the south. It was Judah and Benjamin. Ephraim. So sometimes Israel is called Ephraim, but it's, we know it more as Israel. So, to put a few years on this, the year that Samuel crowned Saul the first king was 1043 B.C. When did Abraham live? Who's older, Abraham or the pyramids? The pyramids. He saw them. When did he live? Abraham's about 2000 B.C. So Abraham's about 1,000 years before this. When was Moses? About 1,500. He's 500 years before this. 1043 B.C. is the start of the United Kingdom. The split of the two nations occurred in 931 B.C. So you can see that the United Kingdom only lasted about 100 years. We've got the split. The northern kingdom existed until the year 722 B.C. And in that year, they were conquered by what nation? Assyria. Not the Syria. Syria and Assyria are not the same country. This, geographically, today, is where? Assyria. It's east of Turkey. It's western Iraq. And their capital city was Nineveh. Now, their war policy, when they conquered any country, and they conquered a lot of countries, they were a world empire of that day, so they didn't have any more trouble with people that they conquered. What, besides just killing them all, what did they do with them? They didn't make them slaves. Well, they might have, but they scattered them. They split them up and sent 10 to this country and 10 to that country. Not 10, but, you know, a bunch over here. But they just scattered them everywhere. And then they brought new people in where they old ones had been. Have you ever heard of the 10 lost tribes of Israel? Assyria lost them. They just scattered them. They just went. And you know what? They never have yet been found. They're gone. 722 B.C. Did Assyria destroy Judah? Well, based on the pitchfork, they didn't. Judah kept on going. And they made it all the way up to the year 586 B.C. They went approximately another 150 years without the north. Who finally conquered
Judah?
Not the Romans. Babylonia. God raised up the Babylonians to first conquer the Assyrians, and then they wiped out Judah. So Babylonia got them. The Babylonians had a different military policy. They didn't scatter people to the four winds. What did they do? Well, I don't know. Maybe they did. But one thing they did do is, you ever had a plant out in the yard and you wanted to move it? And so you just dug it up over here and maybe moved it, dug a new spot over there and put it in a new spot. Well, that's what they did. They just uprooted whoever lived in whatever land they come. They just dug them up and took lock, stock, and barrel to some new place and dug a hole and stuck them in it and put somebody else in the old place. Well, so instead of scattering them all over the known world, they just uprooted all the Jews out of Jerusalem. And guess where they put them? New York City. of its day, which was Babylonia. So they went to Babylon with them. And they were there how long? 70 years. And so it was called the Babylonian exile. Why did it last 70 years? Well, God had a reason he wanted it to last that long.
Because they had neglected the Sabbath and fasting of the land. He says, fine, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, every 50 years, I think? It was a year of Jubilee. And,
every 70
years. Or something. You're supposed to, ever so often, they were supposed to not
let the land rest.
Let the land rest. Well, they hadn't done any of that.
Right.
And God said, okay, well, that's how long we're going to let the land have it. It adds up to 70 years. At the end of 70 years, God raised up a new country. Somewhere in there, they defeated the Babylonians. Who defeated the Babylonians? The Medo-Persians. And they had a different war policy, and that was, we don't care where you live. What are you people still doing here? Y'all go home. There were three waves of Jewish refugees returning to the Promised Land. Three wagon trains across the desert back to the Promised Land. So we got the United Kingdom, the Divided Kingdom. We can call this the Exiled Kingdom. And maybe in the last spot over there, we'll call that the Returning Kingdom. How many waves of Jews came back? Three. I ran out of room on the board, but the first wave was named by a guy named Barney Zerubbabel. Alright? So you got Zerubbabel. Who led the next wave back? Ezra! Now, E-Z-R-A. We got a book of the Bible named after Ezra. And then who led the final wave back?
Nehemiah.
Okay. So, right, Zerubbabel, doesn't matter how you spell it, only you will know. Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah in those three slots. When the book of Nehemiah closes, at the end of the book of Nehemiah, what year is it? I think Nick's saying it best. It's 425 B.C. Now, have you ever heard of the 400 silent years? You ever heard of that? There's 400 years between the last Old Testament occurrence and the first New Testament thing when John the Baptist shows up. Those are called the 400 silent years. It doesn't mean God wasn't doing anything. There's no sacred scripture written during that time. There were no prophets from God. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet, even though he's in the New Testament. But nobody heard from God in a big way like that for 400 years. So Nehemiah is the end of the line as far as divine revelation goes. That makes sense. What books would you read about to find out what happened then? What are those books called? The Apocrypha. That's what that's about. Let's go back to this. Now, that's the history, okay? So over here I had that stuff with Moses, right? Moses and Joshua and Judges. Then I got us into the first king, and I just took us all the way completely to the end of recorded Old Testament history. Does that make sense? What I want to do is go back and put the books of the Bible on that. So there's a box above Samuel and Saul. Do you see that? The book of the Bible that tells you about these events is called 1 Samuel. All right? Then there's a box next to that over King David. You can read all about it. And 2 Samuel. And then there's a book that'll tell you about Solomon and the taxes and the division and the parallel kingdoms about halfway through. And that's 1 Kings. And then the next book that's going to tell you about the destruction of Israel and all the way through to the end of the destruction of Judah is 2 Kings. Now, going on down this way, I've got a box of these two guys that returned. What book of the Bible is going to tell you about Zerubbabel and Ezra? Ezra. So draw a line, if it's not already there, in the middle of Ezra, because chapters 1 through 6 will tell you about Zerubbabel, and chapters 7 through 10 are going to tell you about Ezra. Now also, in the middle of the book of Ezra, between chapter 6 and chapter 7, is when the book of Esther takes place. Queen Esther, remember her? Okay, that's when that happens. And then, what book of the Bible is going to tell you about Nehemiah? Nehemiah. So when you're through with the book of Nehemiah, you're at the end of recorded Old Testament history. Does that make sense? Now, there's some more boxes. There's a box above 2 Samuel. And there's a box above 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles is the exact same material that's in 2 Samuel. And 2 Chronicles is exact same material that's in 1 and 2 Kings. We've got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's all the same material, too. You know, the four Gospels have different materials. He's about to tell us why you've got two sets of the same history.
One's from man's point of view and one's from God's point of view.
That's correct. The bottom row, we'll call this man's view of what happened. And the top row, we'll call that the priest's view. Or, as Keith said, God's view of what happened. So it's like this bottom row is the front page of the newspaper. Here's what happened. There was an invasion by the Babylonians. The top line is the editorial page. Here's why there was an invasion. These people were sinful and they'd broken the law and they wouldn't listen to the prophets, so God wiped them out. Maybe down here on the bottom line it might give you three verses. Oh, they had a revival in Judah. But the top line, because it's a priestly point of view, they might give three chapters to that revival. So it's a different emphasis, and you get more commentary on the top row of books. Now that is how the historical books of the Bible fit together. So if you look at your table of contents, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's making Israel. Then you got Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, that's getting them into the land, right? And then where do we go from there? 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. That's all, unless I'm missing something, that's all 17 of the historical books of the Old Testament. Now you know what they talk about, right? That makes sense. Now, I said the Old Testament is divided into three big sections. What are the three big sections? The law, I'm going to call that history. Okay, let's call history and then Poetry was next, and then the prophets. How many history books are there? 17 history books. How many poetry books are there? 5 poetry books. And how many prophetical books are there? 17. Y'all got that? 17, 5, 17, right? Now, I just gave you the 17 history books and what they are historical about. Where do the prophets fit into this? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever figure it out? You're about to find out. There's 17 prophetical books. All right, let's put them on the map. I'm going to erase my history books because I'm running out of room if I don't. Here we go. We said 3 men led wagon trains back to the promised land, right? Well, it just so happened there were also 3 prophets living in the land who went back on the wagon trains who said things from God. And it's very helpful that if you look in your Bibles, they are the last 3 prophets in the Old Testament list of prophets. Who are they? Who are the last 3? Well, you know the last one. It's the only Italian prophet, Malachi. All right, well, who are the rest of them? Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. You have a handout. It says Jews in Jerusalem. You see that? That's the, I said returning kingdom. Post-kingdom would be more accurate. That's the post-kingdom. They never had a king after that. What'd they have? Who ruled them? Judges. So what you have over here, during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, you had Haggai, Zechariah, Z-E-C-H, Zechariah, and Malachi. So the last 3 prophets in your list of prophets in the Old Testament table of contents live in the last period of Jewish history during the post-kingdom time after the Babylonian exile. Does that make sense? Okay, that's easy. Now, let's back up this way. Were there any prophets during the Babylonian exile? Well, you can tell there were from the chart. You can tell there were 2. Now, remember, during the Babylonian exile, they were basically in captivity. It was called the Babylonian captivity. And one of the Psalms writes about that. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept, you know, when they remembered the Holy Land and all that stuff. So the best way you remember this is they were trapped. They were boxed in. They couldn't go home, could they? Boxed in. Had to stay there 7 years. Well, the best way to remember this is the old TV show, Mr. Ed the Talking Horse. I don't know if you youngsters remember that, but at the start of the show, they always was the same thing. Maybe it was the clothes, but anyhow, Ed was always in his stall, and the door would open, like Dutch door, and there's Mr. Ed in his stall. He'd go, I am Mr. Ed. He'd talk. He was trapped, though, right? He was trapped. So when you think of the Babylonian exile, you should think of Mr. Ed, the talking horse. Because there were 2 prophets during the Babylonian exile, during that time of captivity, Ezekiel and Daniel. How are you going to remember who the last 3 prophets were in the post-kingdom period? How do you remember that? Last 3 in the Bible. How are you going to remember who the 2 prophets were during the Babylonian captivity? Mr. Ed. Remember Mr. Ed. You write this down. Remember that. Now, let's go up to Israel. You know, Israel was universally and uniformly a bad bunch of people. What happened was, the king, was he Jeroboam or Rehoboam? Rehoboam, up there in the north. He saw all his population empty, as every year they'd go down to the south for the Mosaic prescribed feasts and festivals. Well, he said, this is bad for business. And so what he did was, he set up a rival temple with rival priests and rival sacrifices, completely outside what Moses prescribed. What was the capital city that competed with Jerusalem? It was called Samaria. That was their capital city of Samaria. After the Assyrians destroyed them, the nation ceased to exist. The whole area came to be called Samaria. And in the time of Jesus, that's what it was called. But it's named after the capital city that no longer existed after the Assyrians destroyed it. It hadn't existed since then. So anyway, they were apostate Jews. That's what they were. Apostate Judaism. They never did have any revivals. And because they wouldn't listen, God didn't send many prophets. He did send some. But you know what they did to the prophets when they heard them? They laughed at them. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. They just laughed at them. So how can you remember the prophets God sent to Israel? Ha, ha, by their national reaction. He only sent 2. Ha, ha. Hosea and Amos are the 2 prophets that he sent. The reason he only sent two is because they didn't listen. And that's why they were destroyed so much sooner than Judah, because the Judeans did listen. They had multiple revivals. And they kept falling into sin and having revival. Falling into sin and they had revival. So they staggered on from 931 to 586. That's a pretty long time, isn't it? Because they kept getting right with God. Before we go to Judah, though, let's run out here to Assyria. What was the capital city of Assyria? What was the capital city of Assyria? It was Nineveh. Who did God send to Nineveh to warn them?
Jonah.
So one of the prophets who went to Assyria was Jonah. The reason was, of course, they weren't God's covenant people, but they were about to destroy God's covenant people, and they were too mean. I mean, they made Hitler look pretty nice. So God sent Jonah over there to soften them up a little bit, which he did. They got a lot nicer. So by the time they attacked Israel, instead of just killing them all, they scattered them. So all that stuff about Jonah and the whale, he went to Assyria. He didn't want to go. Everybody hated him. Well, you can see why they would. But he went. What people don't know is, about 100 years later, God sent a second prophet there. Do you know that? Can anybody tell me the name of the second prophet who went to Assyria?
Nahum.
And how do you remember that, Nathan?
Nahum's
name is in Jonah. You got Jonah and Nahum. Nahum. See, the same is in there, so you can remember it that way. So how many prophets went to Assyria? The same number that went to Israel. Isn't that interesting? Jumping down, there was another kingdom that God sent prophets to, and it was the kingdom called Edom. Now, the reason God was interested in them is they were cousins to the Jews. Who was their great-great-great-great-granddaddy? Esau, kingdom of Edom. That's his descendants, because they were cousins to the Jews. But you know what? They were bad. And a lot of times when different people would be attacking the Jews, because a lot of these Assyrians did put pressure on the Jews, they'd flee to the south, heading to the hills, you know, go down to Mexico or something, get away from the fighting. And on the road, their own cousins would attack them and rob them and kill them. Well, this just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening. God said, I've had it. That's enough. And he sent a prophet down there. He said, you people are going to get wiped out because you're bad. You are so bad.
How bad are they?
So bad that God's going to send Obadiah down there. Obadiah. Obad. So you can remember that. The Obadiah went down to Edom. And when he said Edom is doomed, Edom doomed because they're bad, God sent Obadiah. Now, where are we? This one, that one, this one, this one. Now, that leaves Judah. Now, there were, if you count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the writing prophets that went to Judah. We said there are 17 writing prophets. That means we've got 10 of them on the board. Anybody that's left over went to Judah. Now, I'll tell you who that was. That's Isaiah, then Jeremiah, and then the next book Jeremiah wrote, which is Lamentations, and then Joel, and then Micah, and then Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. Don't confuse Zephaniah with Zechariah over here at the end. That's Zephaniah. That's how the 17 writing prophets fit into Israeli history. You see that? Now, there's more than just 17 prophets. Name me a prophet who didn't write anything. Elijah. He lived up in the Northern Kingdom, didn't he? But there was only 2 writing prophets. Name me a prophet who lived during the time of the United Kingdom that also didn't write.
Nathan.
That's right. So does that make sense? We have left over, of course, the 5 poetical books. We are fixing to stick them in here. Okay, this last one is the integration of Old Testament books, and you see a bunch of numbers across the top. This top section is going to be the historical books of the Bible. So the first one, right in that box, Genesis. Second one is Exodus. Third one is Numbers. Fourth one, take my word for it, is Joshua. Fifth one is Judges. Number six is going to be 1 Samuel. Seven is 2 Samuel. Eight is 1 Kings. Nine is 2 Kings. 10 is going to be Ezra. And 11 is going to be Nehemiah. Now that's roughly in order, but the reason is not completely in order. Do you have a little box between number 2 and 3? Okay, that little box is Leviticus. And there's a box between 3 and 4, right? And that's going to be, guess what?
Deuteronomy.
That content occurs in between Exodus and Numbers. Deuteronomy occurs at the end of Numbers and before Joshua. That's why that's there. What other book of the Bible did I say occurs during the time of the judges? Ruth. Because she's in that little box above number 5. Now, there's a box above number 7. That's 1 Chronicles. And so then the box over 8 and 9 is 2 Chronicles. You already knew this, right? And then what woman lived right in the middle of the book of Ezra? That's Esther. That is, unless I miss my count, there's all 17 of the historical books and the order that they are in chronologically, which is pretty well the order they're in your Bible, too. Does that make sense? Now, let's fit onto that the poetical books. How many poetry books are there? There's 5. One of the 5 was written during the events that take place in the book of Genesis. Job. In fact, and that's why there's a line down, Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. Okay, here's a guy contemporary with Abraham. Abraham didn't write the stuff that's about him. Moses wrote that 500 years later. 2 Samuel. During the time of 2 Samuel, that's when the Psalms were written. You're talking about King David and that kind of stuff. Remember, United Kingdom. All right? During the events of 1 Kings, that's when you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Because that's about from the period of Solomon. Solomon wrote a lot of that, right? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's your 5 poetical books. So just as an example, the poetical books were not written during the time of Nehemiah. You see where they were? Most of them right here during 2 Samuel and 1 Kings. Now, how many prophetical books did we say there were? 17. You'll notice under 2 Kings, there's a whole bunch of boxes. Well, it was during the time of 2 Kings that you have most of the prophets writing. You got a first set of boxes that says to Israel. Tell me who that was.
Hosea.
That's Hosea and Amos. Ha ha. Okay. Now, we'll skip the ones to Judah, but all the way down, it says to Assyria. Two went to Assyria. Who were they? Jonah and Nahum. Okay, and then only one went to Bad Edom, who was doomed because they were so bad that God sent Obadiah. So if you go back up to Judah again, that's where you fill in all those that we had there before. And that would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Joel, Micah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Joel, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Okay. What does these 3 dots evidently represent? This is the Babylonian captivity. Dropping down, there were 2 prophets during that time. How do you remember who the 2 prophets were during the Babylonian captivity?
Mr.
Ed, the talking horse, and the 2 prophets were Ezekiel and Daniel. Then, coming down from Ezra, there's also 2. Remember, there had been 3. The last 3 prophets of the Old Testament were in the last section of history. Well, 2 out of those 3 lived during the time of the writing of the book of Ezra. That's Haggai and Zechariah. And only one of them lived during the time of Nehemiah, and that obviously was Malachi. So that is how the 39 books of the Old Testament go together. That's the history of it. I dare say you now know what 90% of Christians in America never put together. A lot of this came from a minister here in Atlanta called Walk Through the Bible. I don't know if they're still teaching at seminars or not. But but it's good to have. So if you ever get a chance, go through a walk through the Bible seminar. They have one for the Old Testament, one for the New, and it's this kind of stuff. But you needed to know it, because the excuse for me teaching in the last few weeks has been the overview of the Bible. That's pretty well an overview, isn't it? What I would encourage you to do, you probably have some blank pages in the back of your Bible. Most Bibles do, for some reason. Take a pen and draw that little sideways pitchfork and the dates and the people and put some books over it and stuff. And so you'll have it in your Bible, because, you know, you won't keep that chart, but reproduce it in your Bible, so that no matter, down the road 10 years from now, you kind of forgot about this, and somebody says, let's turn to the book of Isaiah. You go, if you're right here, find out real quick. Oh, yeah. He was a prophet to the southern kingdom during this time right here, and you got it.